Thanks very much. My name's Lucy. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm really blessed to be asked to speak at this meeting. So I've been abstinent now. Just look it up. I did prepare all this earlier, but it's sort of gone out of my mind. I've been abstinent now for 137 days, so I haven't got a lot of time. But I was asked to guest speak at this meeting before I was even 60 days abstinent, and being asked to speak at this meeting has been a really good incentive for me to stay abstinent, to get a grip on my recovery and understand what abstinence is. I've written out stuff I want to say, but I don't want to labour too much on my past and how what it was like. But just in case people can identify, I'll tell you a little bit about my history. I hate talking about my weight. My weight has been an indication of my health on a daily basis for a very long time. I was put on my first diet when I was 8 years old, and I was told by people in my family and at my school and in my neighborhood that I was fat. And I hate to use those words, but it's just the language that I was used. And I was bullied for being overweight. I was bullied by people at school. I was bullied by my family. I was bullied by my neighbors. I was called names because of it. And it was more confusing than anything because I didn't really understand what it meant. I just knew that it meant that I was different to them. And I just didn't get it. But I was a very active kid. I was very involved in sport. I was very involved in lots of things, but I carried extra weight. And when I actually look back on my photos from that age, I don't think I was that overweight. I think I was just a big kid who did a lot of I did a lot of exercise. But I think it impacted on me. And my mother, after she took me off to the doctor for this diet, changed my food. So instead of being given the same food as other kids were given for lunch at school, I was given chopped up vegetables in Tupperware containers, and I really hated it. It was horrible, and I didn't like it, and I didn't eat it. So immediately I started manipulating other people to get their food and manipulating teachers to go across the road and buy me food from the shop. So food, I loved it. Food, I wanted it. I don't know. I don't remember when I decided it was my best friend, but in primary school and going on to high school, I started stealing food from my mother. Like, I'd dig underneath the containers and pull things out from the bottom, chips and dips and sorry, all that stuff, and different she'd have boxes for different kiosks, and I'd steal that too. I never thought anything of it except that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be eating all the time. Meal times were terrible at our house. It was a violent house and had alcoholism, and meal times were get in, get it down, and get away from there as quickly as possible. Usually ended up in arguments with my father, and often ended up in beating. So again, there's a weird thing with food. I guess in my high school, I did become really overweight when I was in about year nine, and I can see photos of myself there, always eating, always with something in my hand, and quite big. But I was still playing sport. I was still participating in life. I didn't have
15
high
minutes
blood pressure.
remaining.
Thank you. I didn't have any of that, so I did really well. But mum, when I was in about year 11, took me. I got a pharmacist to give me some pills to help me suppress my weight, my eating. And I think these were ephedrine pills. And I realized that it was, I got a high from them. So I took them to get high, not to cramp my eating. I kept putting on weight. I kept eating. I would go on different diets, whatever was in the magazines at the time, mum had put me on, didn't work. But I guess what I, by the time I left home at 18, I just knew that whatever I was eating was wrong, whatever I did with food was wrong. I couldn't ever get it right, and I could never finish a diet. I got into nursing and did nursing, and just not only was food a thing then, but alcohol and drugs became a thing. And so I was just like for me, looking back, it was like a big glutton on anything. I don't think it's important. I've gone through different therapies about why and how and all that stuff. The fact is that I couldn't see there was a problem because I was getting what I thought I needed from just eating. It was more important than my relationships. I had an accident when I was 23 where I broke my back. It's left me partly paralyzed, and it took me a fair while to get back into work. And especially from then, I just kept eating and eating. I got married. That was great, but I kept eating and eating and drinking and eating. Eventually, I was 135. By 150 kilos, which is 330 pounds or 23.5 stones. And using walking sticks to walk, I really couldn't get around. I was hopeless. My husband got me a personal trainer that helped a little bit, but eventually I went and had weight loss surgery. I had lap band surgery to try to minimize how much I could actually put in. I did had no interest in, I couldn't conceive not eating everything I possibly could, so I opted to get surgery to help it. So what that did was I just started regurgitating. I started regurgitating what I had. I couldn't slow down. I couldn't stop, but my body couldn't handle it. So I maintained all my stuff around eating and all my stuff around weight. Around this time, I also, my addiction to other substances, took off. And I lost a lot of weight because of my addiction and because of my lap band, and I became very sick and ended up in a rehab. But I didn't, none of my need for food or want to keep eating was taken away by the surgery, and I was just miserable. I was in rehab and did quite well, but when I got really sick, I was down to 48 kilos, which is 107 pounds. And I was emaciated, my hair was falling out and all that stuff. And I thought I was beautiful. I thought I'd made it. I had stopped looking after myself, but because I was really, really thin, my head told me that I'd finally found what I was meant to find. Anyway, recovery, rehab, recovery 12-step programs, and I started to get a better idea of myself. I would
10
go
minutes
to
remaining.
th thank you. I'd go to other meetings and eat all the other the food that was at the other meetings and stuff. I wasn't necessarily focusing on my recovery. The first time I met, bumped into OA was when I was in my early 20s. A friend took me along to a meeting, and I just sat there and nodding and nodding and yes and yes and And that embarrassed my friend. She said she wasn't going to take me back because she was embarrassed by how I was reacting. And but there I got a book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and the lady there just said, just cross out where it says alcoholics. And I was way before I'd gotten into recovery from my alcoholism. She said, just cross out the word alcohol and write eating or compulsive eating or food. So I went through this book, and I didn't read the book. I just went through the book and crossed out alcohol and wrote food. So, but I'd heard about OA at that time. The next time I went to OA, I was in my 40s, and I'd been in recovery in the other programs for about 6 years. I'd had my stomach's band loosened and tightened and loosened and tightened to try to minimize how much I was eating. But I went to this OA meeting, and I didn't understand it. I didn't, I, all I heard, I don't know what was going on, but all I heard was people complaining about how they can't stay on diets, they can't lose weight, or I saw they couldn't lose weight. I didn't hear recovery. I don't, it was probably spoken, but I just didn't have the head to hear, because all I could hear was diet, you can't, you must, you have to. And I knew I couldn't. But there was a lady there that talked to me about her version of abstinence, which was really, really strict. And it was a, I think it's called the Grey Book or something like that. And it was weighing and measuring, having a strict food plan, sticking to the plan, ringing my sponsor every day, never leaving this plan. And if I left this plan even a little bit, I'd be back to day one, doing the step work, ringing three people a day. It was a you must, but it spoke to me, and it was what I needed back then. It was, I needed something really radical, and I did that program, and I got about 3 years abstinent, but I was still focusing. It was all about weight. I'd say all this blah blah blah, but really I just wanted to lose weight. So, and I ended up getting, I lost a lot of weight, and I got very sick, and I started to introduce other foods into my program, and immediately felt like a failure again. I'd lost again. I can't do this yet again. Time went on, and I'd sort of turn up to OA occasionally. I ended up having another stomach operation. I had a stomach sleeve put in, and I'd go to OA to try to stop my brain, to stop my brain around food, just try to calm it down. About and knowing what food was kind to me and what food wasn't kind to me, and sometimes feeling like really sneaky and eating some food that wasn't kind for me, but not having any idea. About 5 years ago, I joined a OA group in Chiang Mai in Thailand, which meets on Mondays, both virtually and in person. And I have been going there every Monday since about then, but had never been able to get abstinent, never understood what abstinent was, just thought it's just something else, it's something outside me. But I was just going to one meeting a day. I was trying bits and pieces to do the tools, but never consistently. And I was praying. I was saying, God, please help me to get abstinent. But in reality, I didn't know what abstinence was, and I didn't actually really want it because I still wanted to be able to live my own life and
God
do
did it
whatever
through
I
me.
wanted to do. Thank you. So, last year, I finally realized if I'm going to if I'm going to have recovery in OA, if I'm going to get abstinence, I need to be serious about it, and I need to start doing what other people do. First of all, and what I did for my other programs, I need to go to a meeting every day. I need to do. I'd be open-minded to the tools. I need to talk to people. I need to listen. So, 1st of September last year, that's my first day abstinent. And I've been coming to a meeting every day. I met this group, the Footsteps group, which this meeting's on at 10 o'clock in my time zone. But I've been listening to what people are saying, and I've been listening to people who are living in recovery, who are abstinent and aren't sort of white knuckling it and hanging on to it, but are actually living their lives. And that's what I want. I don't want food, weight, diet to be in my head anymore. I want to be living a life that's free of that. So, I live in a very isolated isle in the middle of the Pacific. There's no face-to-face meetings, so I rely on these Zoom meetings. Person who lives in the house is also in recovery and is in abstinence, which is great. But I live my life like I'm free. I'm free of being obsessed and compulsed to eat. When I've it's only been like a few days really, but when things come up, when a situation comes up, a stress or anything, I just first thing I say is I'm in recovery. I choose to be abstinent, and that changes the whole thing around it. Part of my program is I go for a swim in the ocean every morning. I have the same breakfast every day. I basically have protein and vegetables for my meals, and I'm not restricted, but I'm sensible at what is good for me and what feels good and what doesn't feel good. I'm really new and I haven't done everything yet. I'm looking for a sponsor. I need to try to find one in Australia. So I've got to start going to a few Australian meetings. I need to find one in Australia because that's a bit closer to here. When I go to Thailand in March, and this meeting will be on at 6 o'clock at night. So it'll be much more logical. So for me, being told what to do is really hard. But what I'm finding in this recovery is that, I mean, I've got the information. I've been on this journey for 64 years. So I know what's what. If I stop lying and keep being honest, I'm in with a chance. And if I keep admitting I'm not always right and don't know everything, I'm also in with a chance. I've done enough, and I've been through enough, and I don't want to have to do, I don't want to do anything else to myself. I want the rest of it to sort of come from me. And this has really improved my relationship with my higher power because I feel like I'm actually being honest now. And when I say grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, I believe I'm giving it given acceptance. And I say, courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. I actually think I'm praying honestly now. So thank you all very much.